Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Tomorrow, we are going to choose. It's a very, very bizarre system. Very bizarre. But for those of us who are delegates, we have an obligation to figure out, my opinion, who the best candidates are for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and who is best positioned to defeat the Democrats in November. We've got to find the best candidates that represent what it is that we believe, and we've got to identify the candidates who are best positioned to win in November. I just don't think we can survive another 4 years of Democrat Party rule. I really don't. You're looking at the destruction of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Now, former State Senator Dick Black has been around the block once or twice. He's seen the insanity and in the state really, I think, take root over these last couple of years especially. And he's got one or two observations that he can share with us. Senator, I appreciate you being here.
Hey, Jeff, it's good to be with you. I appreciate it. Listen, I wouldn't get too disappointed. You know, I'm up in Loudoun County in Northern Virginia, and you would not believe the number of organizations that are just independently springing up, groups for gun rights, groups for groups against critical race theory, ones that are against mandatory vaccine passports, school opening, transgender, business reopening. It's amazing the grassroots power that is springing up. It's just amazing. I've never seen anything like it before.
So you get the sense then, if I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is it possible that the Democrats with control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office have overreached, perhaps?
Yeah, they have overplayed their hand enormously. People are not ready for communism. And if you look at what they're really doing, they're talking about extreme egalitarianism, where, for example, you know, we've got some kids who do well in math and some who don't do as well. And they're saying, okay, we're going to do away with advanced math so that we can bring everybody down to the same level. And there won't be anybody who excels. Now, this is classic communist ideology. And we're seeing it. They're trying to use the fault lines around race, which is terrible because, you know, my goodness, no country has ever worked harder to create racial harmony and love between people than this country. But I'll tell you, there is a backlash like I've never seen. It's amazing.
And
it
is a good thing. You mentioned a couple of those hot button issues. The Second Amendment seems to me to really, really be under attack by the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, everybody on Capitol Square. And you're saying you're seeing groups really across the Commonwealth stand up and say, yeah, not so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think the feeling among the public is that whether it's in Washington, whether it's the Northam administration, the Democratic Party in Virginia, they have turned against the people. They have a visceral hatred of ordinary working class people, and I think, you know, there's still been these groups of folks who have said, you know, my granddaddy voted Democrat back under FDR, and I'm going to do the same. I'm going to tell you, they're losing all of those people, and people are beginning to say, you know what? I don't want people to be assassinating police, burning down the cities, looting businesses. This is too much. We got to stop it. I think we're to that point. And I just did an event for Pete Snyder, who's running for governor, and I think he is the front leader at this point. We had a group in Lynchburg, included Sarah Huckabee, who, by the way, she's running for governor of Arkansas. And we got Ken Cuccinelli, our former attorney general, got E.W. Jackson, Oliver North. Anyway, we had a just tremendous lineup there. And as I drove down to speak at that event, I'm looking along the roads and looking at different signs, different road signs. I saw a couple of dozen signs for Pete Snyder. I did not see a single sign. And I ran through Northern Virginia down to Culpeper, Charlottesville, Lynchburg. I didn't see a single sign for anybody else. So I'm encouraged that that we're going to have a party that is unified. And I guess we'll find out on Saturday. You never know. I mean, everybody's got their choices, and we'll find out.
But you know what? I don't think we're going to find out on Saturday. I think it's going to be next week before we've even got a clue. You got to be honest. This is one of the most convoluted systems that anybody could have dreamt up.
Well, what's happened is with the COVID business and all of that, we've never faced this before.
Yep.
But since they could not get everybody together in a single convention, they've got, I think it's like 30 voting locations. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be very strictly controlled because the ballots from each of those places, everybody's got to show voter ID and clear identification. And then all of the ballots are going to go to a central location where they're going to be counted, and each of the candidates will have people there representing them to make sure everything is above board. We may actually have the most honest vote that we've ever had before, but it's going to be a little more cumbersome. It's going to take at least a couple of days probably to sort it all out.
Yeah. Former State Senator Dick Black is here. Now, Dick, you've mentioned that you're a Pete Snyder guy, and I'm talking with people whose opinions I respect, my listeners respect. Do you mind sharing with everybody why you decided Pete would be your guy?
Yeah. I've known Pete. I retired from the Senate about a year ago. I spent 20 years in elective politics. When I retired, probably if you'd done a survey, 80% of people would say, oh yeah, Dick Black, he's the most conservative member of the General Assembly. And so to me, I'm not looking for a position. I'm retired. I'm finished. But but I am concerned. I got 16 grandchildren, and I don't want some BLM Antifa mob swarming out and slaughtering them. I mean, literally, I'm serious about this. And so I'm concerned about the future of America and about our children. And I know Pete Snyder. Pete, he has been around with the party for so many years. And he wasn't initially a Trump supporter. Neither was I. Mm-hmm. Although I gave the last speech for Trump on election eve to 20,000 people, and like a lot of people, you know, we all swung to him. And immediately after Trump won that nomination in 2016, Pete Snyder wrote him a check for $50,000. And he backed him again financially and with his personal force in 2020. And he's running, you know, Pete's a big businessman, although he's kind of a Tom Sawyer type of guy. You know, he's a young guy. And there's one other businessman in this race, Glenn Youngkin, who has never really gotten involved in Virginia politics until he left the Carlyle company, huge, powerful company, and while he was there, he went on the side of the woke BLM Antifa people gave $10 million from Carlyle Group to the Equal Justice Initiative and the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is, of course, very, very viciously anti-Christian, anti-conservative. And so anyway, I know Pete is 100% pro-life. He is 100% pro-Second Amendment, and he is a powerful voice for law enforcement. He's going to restore order. I tell you, if we have riots, he's going to have the state police out. He's going to have the National Guard out. He is not going to leave people undefended the way that they have been under our present governor and his administration. Yeah. So that's important to me. I want law and order. I was the chief of the criminal law division at the Pentagon and responsible for law and order throughout the U.S. Army worldwide. And to me, the worst thing in the world is when you have a collapse of law and order, and particularly when it's led by a governor like we've had with Ralph Northam.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. Well, I appreciate you making time for us. I'm sure we will talk again soon. That is a former state senator, Dick Black, his perspective on some of the candidates. And you, if you are a delegate, tomorrow is the chance to actually get out and vote. If you were listening to John Reed this morning, as I was, because I listen to John every morning. I'm usually, almost always there right at the beginning, right at 6 a.m. And I have to tell you, if in fact I'm a couple of minutes late, our Odyssey app has the ability to rewind live radio. It's a very, very cool feature. But I'm listening this morning, and John is obviously talking about these issues, talking to a number of the candidates for this office, for that office, and Rich Anderson, the chair of the Republican Party of Virginia, was on, and tried to explain the process. So there are no write-ins. I know there were people saying, I don't like any candidate, so I'm going to write in my own nominee. Can't do it. There are no write-ins on these ballots. And you do not actually have to circle seven different folks. Right, we have seven people seeking the Republican nomination for governor. But I think there are a lot of people who are saying, you know what, I got my top three, maybe I've got my top four, that's it. I'm not going to bother voting for anybody else. And that's okay. If you're looking at, Attorney General, and we have four candidates there, you may look at it and say, hey, I only like one. Okay, then you vote for the one. But do understand that if the person you vote for is the low vote getter and you don't have anybody after that, then you're done for that particular office. And the way that Rich Anderson described it this morning, and I thought it was really the best description I've heard, it would be the same as if you simply left the building. Right. If this were a regular convention and everybody were at the convention center or high school auditorium or wherever it was that we were having it, and you decided, oh, man, I've been through three ballots already, I'm done. Well, then you'd be done. You wouldn't be able to vote anymore. And it is the same thing with this ranked choice. You're voting for your first choice, your second choice, your third choice. And if you say, well, I don't really have anybody for the next couple of slots, that's okay. But if one of yours is dumped at that point, then you're done. All right. Just so we're clear, sort of. And I'm sure there will be people out there at the polling locations that will help explain this as well. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.